Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Yak Gadget. For all your kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Pelican cases, coolers, and lighting, go to pelican.com. The 153 bait company. For all your hard and soft bait needs, go to the153anglers.com. Now let's get this show started.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to our first EP here on the Paddle and Fin podcast. Man, Brad, that intro pumps me up every single time I hear it. And I am so stoked on behalf of the Bass Bones Fishing kind of EP podcast to be a part of your guys' show and shed some light out here on the West Coast in the kayak scene, man. And it's just awesome to be a part of the Paddle and Fin family. You guys have brought me in and the crazy group text that we're all a part of now. And the family vibe of the show is awesome, dude. So I guess I want to say thank you for taking us on and allowing this EP to kind of roll out.
Yeah, dude, when you messaged me about it, I was like, man, this is a no-brainer. I got to talk to Brian because you guys being on the West Coast, I just feel like you guys get shafted quite a bit, you know?
And yeah.
Being part of Paddle and Fin, I mean, I don't know. You guys, it just makes sense.
yeah. And that's right. And that was kind of our goal. When I say our, I mean my co-host Alex. He'll be kind of on and off with some episodes, but for tonight he wasn't able to make it. Man, he did a phenomenal job as my co-host, and I give him a huge shout out for everything that he did kind of leading up to this moment. And I wish he was here tonight, but he wasn't able to make it. And our whole goal last year, man, was to just kind of, like you said, just shed some light on the West Coast, because I feel like a lot of our anglers deserve it. And we got some sticks out here. We're starting to make a little dent when we go out into the KBF National Championship. You see California guys up there quite a bit. And, man, we're just really excited to be a part of this and kind of expand the light now into the whole country and kind of show everyone and let everyone listen to what we go through out here in California. And, you know, there's a lot of good fishing out here. There's a lot of good kayak anglers out here. And it's just cool to kind of be a part of it. And we're going to just dive right into it. And I just want to say thank you to all of our listeners that transferred over to here. We're just really excited to be a part of it.
Heck yeah, dude. Me being from Ohio, you know, I'm always curious about the West Coast. You guys seem like you have a lot of fun. So I'm ready to hear about it.
Yeah. So tonight for our first episode, a part of the Paddle and Fin family now, we're going to have pretty much the three. There's a lot more, but the three really top guys, especially from last year. We have the AOI from the Wild West. We got John Myers. We got Greg Blanchard coming in. And we have Brian Lepke. Guys, welcome to the show. and this is going to be our first episode. So I just want to say welcome, and let's all rip our thumbs up in 2022.
Definitely. Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Yep. Greg, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always good to see you and Brian from down south, the local hammer on here. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, first off, let's kind of start just the way the screen sits right now. Let's start with John. John, I know you just got off a big win up there. I'm going to totally butcher the name, Thermalito. I hope I said that right. He just took home the victory at the TOC, and he also is the Wild West Bass Kayak Trail AOI. So congratulations on that. John, do you want to just highlight that just a little bit and kind of talk about your 2021 season overall really quick?
Yeah, real quick. Started at the Delta, fishing was extremely tough. I found some bed fish. I fished Discovery Bay. Happened to lose some key fish. I could have won that one. Ended up in second, which was cool. We went to, it was Clear Lake next. I had an hour of magical time at Clear Lake. It was like one point, just hit a bunch of post-spawn fish on it, and just literally every cast, it was insane. Magical. And then we went to Don Pedro. Don Pedro's my home lake. I never win a tournament there. I come in second all the time. So,
like that's a bad thing.
That's a little frustrating because this year I fish big boat tournaments as well, the Glitter Rockets. And I've been doing that since 86. But anyways, yeah, I've had a few second places. That time, I think I came in fifth or sixth, or sixth place. And then finished off the year at the Clear Lake. I love that place. Fish Factory, everybody knows that. I mean, if I lived right there, I'd fish every day. You talk about thumbs ripped up. I mean, your palms ripped up, both hands. It's just no messing around. Mm-hmm. And then I think I came in sixth on that one. And then the Thermalito After Bay, I did my homework. Found a good spinnerbait bite along the Tule berms and made an adjustment on the second day and caught some better fish. And yeah, I'm really pleased with my my year. Next year, I hope to do better. Really do. I always set goals. And my goals this year was to get Angler of the Year, and then to win one event. And I did it the last two events, so.
Yeah.
Nice.
John, what would you say you're like for 2021? If you had one bait, what would you say your one bait that kind of carried you through the 2021 season?
One bait.
Just pick one. Your confidence bait. One that kind of just carried you through.
The Tasmua jig. I mean, I throw the jig a lot. I mean, I throw the jig exclusively. And that's proven to catch bigger fish. Although the Thermalito, I couldn't get a bit on it. Trust me, I tried it. Just couldn't get a bit on it. Yeah.
And what kind of kayak are you fishing out of? And do you have a motor or no motor? Or...
So I have a PA-14 360. I have a Torquedo in the back and a Minn Kota in the front. So depending on where I go, is which motor I use.
That's cool.
Sweet, man.
Yeah, it's all about time management,
Right.
And then presentation, boat positioning, I could go on and on and on, but yeah.
So kind of recapping the 2021, what's the biggest thing you learned?
2021, first of all, the kayak community, I learned this a long time ago, and I have to say this, these guys are the greatest guys ever. I'm not saying the glitter boat guys are bad. They're good too. But I'm telling you what, it's a community, it's a family. And I've learned that everybody's a friend, where it comes to techniques and stuff like that. I wish I could say I was really good at one technique. I like to be versatile, and you have to make adjustments throughout the day. One little fish, that key bite, you make that adjustment, that's when you start catching more fish. And every tournament I did this year, there was an adjustment I had to make. And if I didn't adjust, I did poorly. So the adjustments was the biggest thing I learned. Yes.
Yeah. And I feel like it's really cool, man. I mean, what was the thing that kind of like, what was the first interest? Like you're in the glitter boat, you know, the bass boat scene for so long. And what was that thing that brought your interest to come down and hang out with us kayak guys down here?
Okay. So Steve Nylander, he started MKA. And he called me up. He goes, hey, I'm thinking about starting a kayak circuit. I said, all right, cool. Thanks, you know?
Steve. Thanks, Steve.
You can thank Steve. You really can.
This right, guy, Greg? Hey, thanks, Steve. Hey, hey. Oh, yeah. Steve, so, no more phone calls to friends. Leave all your friends out.
Steve and I have been friends a long time. And so he goes, sign up. I go, dude, I ain't got a kayak. And I've never been in a kayak. He goes, I have one you could use. Okay. And then you'll get some experience in it before we go out. I went out one time. See, I figure one time. And we went to Kelsey Bass Ranch. And we're going along the dam. I got my jig, right? Come on. It's December. I have boots on. I have my snowmobile suit on. I have a life jacket on. Dude, if I would have fell in the water, I would have just like sunk to the bottom. You know what I mean? But anyway, yeah. Now I do all these precautions and, you know, suggest stuff and read up about, you know, safety. So anyways, I had a life jacket, always have a life jacket. I got bit on this jig and I threw it out and I was like walking it down the dam and I dunk. All right, here we go. And I set the hook and I almost rolled it, you know, right then. And then the fish kind of towed me around and I thought, this is great. And this is me against the fish. You know, you can't beat this feeling you get out of that. And it's not like a boat. A boat, you could set the hook and run all the way to the back. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And a kayak, the fish tows you around. It's you against the fish. And it's like close and personal. And as soon as I caught that fish, this light came on, like ding. I'm like, man, this is challenging. This is a great experience. And I want more. I want a lot more. Yeah. And I get the fish and I pedal over to Steve, you know, real quick. Look what I caught. You know, we weigh it. It's like 4.5 pounds, you know. I was all proud of that fish. I went up and down that bank and just slayed him. And every time I'd set the hook, I'd have to, you know, there's bow positioning. Well, in a kayak, and it was an outback. And it was a 17 outback. A little tipsy, okay. But, I mean, it was, for me, it was a little tipsy because I'm not used to it. I mean, you really got to roll a bunch to get the roll over. But, you know, for me, just to get my center of gravity off a little bit, just, you know, I was like, whoa, you know. But, you can thank Steve Nylander for that.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. Well, hey, man, it's really cool seeing a guy come from the bass boat scene. And you can just tell by the tone in your voice that you absolutely love fishing. Yeah. And then out of a kayak, you're just kind of lower to the water, kind of in nature, just a little bit more. Mm-hmm. That's what I really liked about the float tube, because I float tubed for probably 8 years and it was just really cool to kind of literally you're in the water, but you can just get back into those cool spots and everything. And it's just a little bit different for sure. But that's really awesome. Definitely. Man.
Thank you.
So maybe let's kind of transition into the southern part of the California now. Brian, we got Brian here. He came off another epic season down here in Southern California and took AOI pretty much by a landslide last year. He literally taught us all a really good lesson again, that he's just a stick out here and he just catches them consistently and won the AOI for the first ABA inaugural season. And we're going to get a little bit into the new season for the ABA kayak series. We got a lot of cool information to kind of release here tonight, but Brian, let's kind of highlight your season and maybe talk kind of like what John just went over a little bit about your success and kind of things you learned and maybe your confidence bait that kind of took you through.
Well, it was a good year. I got 7 second places. I didn't win one, but you know, I was close a few times.
Yeah.
A couple 100-inch limits I still didn't win, but it's all good.
Hey, let's stop right there. That's a reason for all you northern guys to come down to Southern California next year, right? We got 100-inch taking second place down here.
Jeez. I'm ready.
That's crazy.
I'm ready.
But how John was talking about making adjustments throughout the day, that is key, especially on these pressured lakes. And you know, you fish on a Saturday down here, there could be 6-7 boats on the same spot, and I mean, you got to make those adjustments, you know, hourly, half hourly, whatever it takes.
Yeah,
I don't even remember. I fished ABA and SoCal Kayak Anglers this year.
Yep.
I got Angler of the Year in both, which was great. I mean, there's a lot of good fishermen down here. And I'm looking to expand to NorCal next year. Might want to do the Wild West Bass Trail and ABA. Not sure yet, but that's my plans.
Sweet.
Ryan,
what was that one bait this year that kind of carried you through?
Well, probably just a 6-inch finesse worm and a medium diving crankbait. That combo did a lot for me this year.
Yeah.
I love fishing a jig as well, football jig, whenever I can, but I couldn't get it going this year. But
Ryan, one thing that you kind of mentioned a little bit, I think it was at the Otay event, you do something a little bit different with your finesse. You I think you said power shot, right? So you kind of throw a little bit of a heavier weight and heavier line, or what? The power shot is basically a heavier drop shot, right?
It's not always a heavier weight, but it's usually a heavier line, a little bit beefier hook and a bigger bait. Just kind of weed out some of the smaller fish. It doesn't always work, but it works good when it works.
So fishing the ABA Kayak Series last year, the first year, Greg came down too for the LCAP event. What was like a memorable moment, or like what was like something that you really enjoyed about fishing that? It was the first season ever. It was the inaugural season.
Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Talk a little bit about you winning the Angler of the Year for that.
Well, that was my goal at the beginning of the year, was to win Angler of the Year in both SoCal Kayak Anglers and ABA. I accomplished my goal, which I'm happy about. It was a close race up until, you know, the last tournament or so. I don't know. I mean, there's a few tournaments that I bombed in that I thought it was over, and then I don't know, the other guys bombed another tournament, and you know, it's like a roller coaster ride all year.
Yeah. And what did you end up, and John, I meant to ask you this as well, but Brian, what did you end up winning for Angler of the Year for the ABA? What was your cash prize, and like what was your gift as well?
I won a Lowrance, the Elite FS7 fish finder, and Minn Kota trolling motor.
Yeah. And then Brian, you also did really well in the TOC. What place did you take in the TOC?
Fourth.
Fourth.
At Kachuma.
Kachuma. Yeah, and that was a really fun lake. It was a little tough for size, but it was fun.
Hard to get anything over 15, 16 inches, but it was a fun tournament.
Yeah. John, I meant to ask you that too. What did you receive for AOI?
For AOI, my dues paid for next year. And then I got a big cop.
Awesome. Well, Brian, what was one thing that you kind of learned this year? What was like your learning curve? What was one thing that you kind of are going to maybe add to next year?
Pay attention to John DeMonet and try to learn from him.
Yeah.
That little guy's sneaky, man.
He is. He's a hammer for sure.
But it's funny because every tournament he wins or does good in, when you figure out what he was doing, it's like, that's so obvious. Right, it's like the most obvious thing, but it's almost too obvious. You kind of pass it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and Greg, you came down to LCAP and fished that lake, and JD, we call him JD. I'm pretty sure I could get this wrong, but I'm pretty sure he caught 104.75 at one of the SoCal events, right?
Jeez.
Or was it the ABA? No, it was the ABA event. It was the ABA event.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Brian, heck of a year, man. It was cool to see you just take home that first AOI, and we're going to kind of get into the ABA, the new series that's coming out here soon. But Greg, Mr. Greg Blanchard, first off, congratulations on a big milestone for yourself on your social media and your YouTube. You went over 100,000 subscribers, right?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Nice.
That was a couple months ago. It was just, you know, random. Honestly, it's random. It was just like an uptick in views for a couple of weeks, and it just pushed me over 100. So very cool. Happy with it.
Well deserved, man, because I know, I mean, I was out there in Texas with you, and I know that you put a lot of effort and you put a lot of energy into that. And I mean, I try to do it, but not nearly as consistent as you are. But I know that's a key to your success, and I know you know that, is being consistent. And so maybe talk about a little bit about some of your highlights this year, Greg, and some things that you're excited about.
Yeah, I mean, this year was – it was all over the place for me, man. I mean, like you said, the first tournament of the year, I stopped down with you and Brian and everyone else down in SoCal for the LCAP tournament, the ABA one. Made the trip down with Juan. And, man, what a culture shock that was, you know, coming to a SoCal lake, you know, waiting in line for hours before it even opened, you know, seeing 80 other people in front of me, getting there an hour early, and there was, like, 80 people in front of me. Crazy. It was fun. I had a really good time. I thought the tournament was extremely well run. I'm excited for what you guys are having or what they're doing next year. But that was the first tournament of the year. I did okay. But like I said, this year was all over the place for me. Like, I, you know, jumping around different circuits. I did, you know, Yakabass. Earlier in the year, Yakabass had some issues hosting a tournament at one lake. So they had some open lake style tournaments so you could pick a, you know, out of five bodies of water, for example. So did some Yakabass stuff. I did some California Bass Nation at Clear Lake, which ended up turning out to be one of my better tournaments, and good thing, because I qualified for next year's California or for the Bass Kayak Classic. So going to be doing that next year. Went to New York, did a Elite Kayak Series event on Cayuga Lake. Just timing worked out. It's basically the lake that's 5 minutes from where I stay. So that was a lot of fun. Yeah. And then just finished out the summer doing some Yakabass stuff, you know, fishing for fun. It was all over the place for me. I didn't fish any one trail, you know, every event. So I didn't have the opportunity to chase an AOY. I don't think I won anything. Maybe a couple of top fives, but, you know, just another fun season for me. Tournaments for me, I just love them. I think the first tournament I ever competed in was 2013, and, you know, they just continue to be extremely fun. The rush of catching a big fish in a tournament, it's like, I don't know, it's hard to explain. You guys know the feeling. It's, yep. It's an amazing feeling. Yeah, yeah, it's so cool. And I don't know, I love the tournaments. I love the scene. I love how it's growing, and they're just a lot of fun for me.
And I really think, Greg, you know, given your YouTube channel, one of the things that when you were just talking right now kind of brought to my mind was, man, that video that you did at Caddo Lake for the national championship, I really feel like it impacted like the whole entire country as far as like fishing like a kayak tournament, because that was just like,
yeah.
And I say this all the time, there's a difference between a person winning an event and not filming it, and a person that actually does really well and film it and then they win, or like for yourself, you took third that tournament, which was huge. Like, there's just something that happens in that moment when you're filming it and everyone's able to watch and it's a big event. And like Christine Fisher, she just took home the BOS championship and she filmed it. And you're watching it, and it's just so good. But like, when anglers, you know, some anglers don't take the time or don't, you know, don't have a YouTube or whatever, there's just such a difference right there. And I feel like your consistency and everything that you're doing and everything that you've done in the kayak scene, man, it's just been so good for the overall growth of this sport. Because when I first saw that video, I just fell in love with kayak tournaments, dude. Like, I was just like, dude, I have to do this.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. And it's, you know, like I said, I try to get not only the tournament in the video nowadays, but kind of like the experience, you know, everything from check-in to, you know, what goes on off the water, whether that be good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, all that stuff. And yeah, I think, you know, I really like, there seems to be more folks, especially out here, filming their kayak tournaments. And I love it. I think it's awesome to, you know, see how other people approach their day. And, you know, after the tournament, of course, and you can see, you know, what you may have missed or, you know, something else that you could have done. I think it's really cool. I think and the funny thing is, you mentioned that, you know, there's other folks out there like Christine filming and doing well. And, you know, there's pros, obviously. You got like Scott Martin, you got Brandon Pollinat, those guys that, you know, have to take it, you know, they film. It's a lot of extra work. And I think people have initially thought that would kind of hurt their tournaments. It would hurt their fishing, but it seems to have been doing the opposite. And I think it's true for myself too. You know, I think it almost adds like an added, I guess you could say pressure, because you know, everybody's going to be watching your day no matter what happens. So you better catch them. You better do good. So it might just add a little bit more focus, but yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's cool when other folks are putting their stuff on YouTube or wherever.
Yeah.
I'll have to say, Greg, with so many YouTube channels out there these days, and it seems you get a little saturated, but I'll have to say your videos are still very enjoyable to watch. You keep it fresh. So
appreciate that.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah.
I second that. Very good, Greg. You know, I at lunch always click on there and see if you got a new one up. So I eat my lunch on my desk and always look forward to your videos.
Dude, It cracks me up when I see the comments, Greg, and they're like, coffee and Greg Blanchard, my favorite morning.
Wait, I get another thing too. There's another event people partake in than watch my videos.
A morning event.
So with that said, I actually I bought two cameras and I videoed the Thermalito After Bay. That was my first video.
Yes.
Sweet. My computer is a little slow, so I have to purchase a new one.
Nice.
And then I figured out how to edit it. I do need to get with you if that's possible.
For you. Absolutely, man. So, I would love to help you in any way possible.
I appreciate that.
I would love to see a day of you fishing, because that's the funny thing. There are so many better. It's just true. I'm not being humble. It's just true. There are so many better fishermen than me out here, especially like John and Damien and Toss, and God, the list goes on. And my goodness, I would pay money to, well, now it might be free, I guess, from John to see them fish on YouTube.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's always cool to pick up on the little intricacies of people do. You know, everybody fishes so different. It's like, it's cool to see that from a, you know, that perspective. Yeah. So.
Totally.
Can you commentate every thought in your mind at every moment, please?
Me? You know, I'm gonna lay over audio of why I do what I do.
Perfect.
So I'm gonna give out everything.
Specifically at Clear Lake, the Delta, and New Malones, please.
You bet. Anytime you need some nuggets, just contact me. I'm very willing to help.
Brad, did you have something? I feel like there's something on the tip of your tongue too.
Oh, I was gonna say, for whatever it's worth, I watch maybe 5 YouTubers, and Greg, you're one of them.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brad.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
Great videos.
Mine's 3 YouTubers.
And that's kind of like, honestly, like why we're having this conversation tonight too, is like with our anglers that we have, and we got Greg out here, you know, representing California as well. And I really feel like the overall aspect of us competing and Greg, you know, kind of competing and showing the world, you know, our sport out here in California, we got some really, really, really exciting things coming next year. So maybe let's kind of like transition into the 2022 kayak season. 2021 is pretty much a wrap. There's not much left, but we're going to kind of move on and learn from our mistakes and enjoy the accomplishments that we all partaked in. And now it's 2022. So let's kind of get a little bit into that. You know, the growth of our sport out here in California has definitely been a factor. I mean, before there were days of Yakabass and the Motherlode kayak anglers and SoCal kayak anglers. And now we have these major circuits coming in and doing an actual series here, not just like, you know, Hobie BOS pops in every once in a while, KBF comes in, and you know, but now we actually have like a legit, you know, series that we're doing out here, from Wild West to California Bass Nation is now doing it, and they're kind of combined. And then we got the ABA kayak series rolling out this new Ironman events for 2022. So I mean, I'm really excited about it, Greg. I mean, you've been around the scene for a while. Like, is it pretty exciting or what?
Man, it's super exciting. I mean, every year you kind of wonder, maybe this is it for the kayak fishing tournament scene. Maybe it's going to kind of plateau, but it hasn't yet. It just keeps growing bigger and bigger. And I think, you know, the multiple circuits and the opportunities out here were inevitable. I mean, all the tournaments they host out here, there's huge numbers. I mean, it's pretty incredible. I know we're kind of isolated, so it seems, out here on the West Coast. But even so, the you know, the tournament scene, the numbers is probably, I would say some of our events are the biggest in the country, you know, minus some national events. You know, given, so even SoCA, you guys down there, huge tournaments, huge turnouts. I mean, you guys filled up your, I think you had a max capacity for your ABAs down there, didn't you?
Yeah, which is going to be, that's the first nugget that I'll drop tonight.
Yeah.
There's going to be no angler cap next year for the ABA.
Nice.
So not a 50, not a 100. It's going to be no angler cap. So, but yeah, man, I feel the same way. And, you know, a lot of the bigger national events, and it's hard for them to kind of schedule around all of our schedules. But I feel like when Bass came out here for the Clear Lake event and we only had, I think, 60 or something like that. I mean, it was a week after a big KBF event and a big Yakabass event. And it was the weekend after, and it was hard for a lot of guys to do it. I feel like if it was on a weekend, kind of by itself, it would have done a lot better number wise. So I feel like this year, you know, all the circuits have done a really good job to kind of go around each other the best they could. And so I just, I don't know. I feel like for the first time ever in California, and I'm going to go out there and say this. Okay. So here we go. The first time ever in California, I really feel like a person that's young and maybe not a full family or anything like that. I mean, they have a legit opportunity to make some serious money this year and travel and fish California and literally probably fish a tournament every week and have a chance at thousands of dollars every single time. I mean, there's a chance for a guy to kind of run the circuits this year and possibly make some sort of living out of this thing given their life circumstance. So that's pretty big.
I'll say with the 2-day events too, I think it'll make people more likely to travel farther for the tournaments. It's hard to drive 10, 12 hours to fish a 1-day tournament. You know what I mean? So
for sure. For sure. So yeah, that was one of the biggest things. So let's kind of maybe just roll that out. Brad, do you want to drop that graphic for me that I sent you really quick?
Yep. It'll overlay over top of us, but you can talk about it while I hit it.
Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Okay, so this is going to be the first kind of ABA Hobie Fishing. So Hobie Fishing is a title sponsor for this series, and they're going to be calling it the California Ironman Kayak Series. And the reason why Ironman, it's not just kind of the cheesy character. The reason why they're calling it the Ironman Series is because there's 2-day events, and there's going to be 6 of them, including a 3-day TOC, and we're covering from south to north. So basically, the first time ever is what we're trying to do is kind of diminished. So we got John Myers up north, right? He's the Northern AOI for the Wild West Bass Trail. We got Brian Lepke down here, AOI for the ABA Kayak Series. Instead of doing this northern-southern thing, let's see who the first ever California, not north, not south, not anything else, the first California Ironman AOI is going to be, because this series is really going to put everyone to the test. It kind of eliminates that one day kind of, you know, have a really good day and you win. You got to catch them for 2 days at each event. And to drop a little bit more details on the series, we're going to be doing your best 3 events. So we're only going to require you to fish 3 events. So if you fish all 6, you're going to be able to drop those 3 worst events. If you only fish 3, you will still have a chance, because the way that we're going to do our TOC this year is out of the AOI points, we're going to have our top 50 anglers out of your best 3 events. The top 50 will go to the TOC. So you got either if you stay up north, you got 3 up north. If you stay down south, you got 3 down south. But the whole goal is, and again, I hope everyone listening from California, the whole goal is to get all of us to travel and fish together. I mean, that's the bottom line, and kind of see who the California AOI this year. And I really feel like this is going to be worth everyone's traveling, because like Brian mentioned, it's tough to travel up for a 1-day event and a little bit of a smaller buy-in, which is the next nugget I'm dropping is $250 is going to be your all-in for this series. $250 all-in, and there's going to be a big bass of the event. And that's going to be the series. I mean, we're going to have your best three events this year. So you could pick any one of those three. You don't have to stay in the South. You don't have to pick North. Any one of those three events you fish, that's going to be the way that you get into the TOC. So it's going to be a 50-point scale for your angler of the year points. And then the TOC will be double points. And the AOI will be picked after, or the AOI will be crowned after the TOC. So, Brad, go ahead and you can take that graphic down now.
Yep. I got a question, though, real quick. How far is that drive from the northernmost lake to the southernmost lake?
So, from Clear Lake to Otay, you're looking at probably about 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
without traffic.
Without traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to drive at night.
Yeah. But hopefully we're looking to get, you know, my goal for the Southern, just so you guys kind of understand maybe the goal of this thing, the goal for the Southern events is 75. The goal for the Northern events is 100. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to pull. We'll see how it all rolls out. But I really feel like it's going to be worth everyone's travel and everyone's, you know, money to fish in their, you know, in their region as well. And the payouts are going to be good. I mean, all the quote unquote excuses to not travel, I really feel like we're trying to make it as worth everyone's travel as possible. So that's what we're rolling out with next year. So Greg, I'm going to ask you, what do you think about that? It's a brand new series of California.
Man, on paper, that looks pretty good. Delta obviously jumps out for me, end of March, Delta. But no, I agree with Brian too. I think the 2-day event is going to draw a lot more, you know, folks that normally wouldn't come to the event, and a bigger entry fee too. I think that's a good thing, having the bigger entry fee. These are some bucket list lakes on this schedule. I mean, you got Clear Lake, you got Delta, Paris down by you guys. I mean, these are some renowned fisheries, and I think, you know, if anything, they're just good opportunities or excuses for people to go fishing for a weekend. So I'm gonna definitely try to make as many of those as I can.
And the next thing too, also, because I'm sure some of you guys are wondering, is we're gonna do an 11-day blackout on each lake with one official practice day, and the only odd one that's gonna be on there is Otay, because Brad, you're probably gonna throw up in your mouth when you hear this, but Otay is literally only open to the public Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, which is a California thing, I know, but this is what we have to deal with out here, but it is what it is.
Yeah, it's a little different out here in Ohio.
Yeah.
That was Wednesday, Friday, Saturday?
Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday, right, Brian?
Oh, is that Saturday? Yeah. Otay is Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow, 3 days a week. Okay.
So the official practice day for Otay is going to be the Wednesday before.
San Diego has a lot of every lake's different. You really got to keep up on your schedules. And then they'll have like every third Friday is closed or every second Saturday is closed. So that's on top of the restricted days.
Yeah. So we got San Vicente first, which is a deep, clear, Greg's been there before. It's a deep, clear reservoir, and it's got some really good fish in it. It used to be like insanely good fishing, and then they closed it for a really long time, and when it reopened, it was like insanely good, and now it's kind of tough. It's only got largemouth in it, but it's really fun to fish. And then we got the Delta, like Mark said. Let's just talk really quick, Greg. Delta, March 26th,
27th. Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
What's your prediction for that tournament?
To win 2 days?
2 days.
Over 200.
John, you agree?
Yes, I'd definitely say it's going to be at least 200. Yeah.
Is that during spawn?
Yeah, it's right at the spawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends on the weather. Yeah.
Craig, when you're listening to this, Craig, that is the perfect date for the Delta. Thank you, sir. Greg, thank you, sir.
That's one place I need to practice is the Delta.
It's extremely difficult to pattern fish there, but everything looks good.
I fished the Hobie tournament there last time. That was
just watch Greg's YouTube. You'll learn the Delta pretty quick.
Yeah, well, maybe. I was there the other day, and I, you know, struggled. I mean, it is, especially this time of year. The bite should be better. That, well, it will be better. But again, with the tides, and I mean, it's so big too. Like, you look at it on a map, it's a maze. I mean, I'm sure this is open launch, of course, I assume.
Yeah, we're in Contra Costa. So Contra Costa. Gonna be able to, yeah, sorry if I messed that up, but we're only going to be allowed to launch at eight of them, I think.
Eight of them?
Yeah, oh, I think there's okay. Eight ramps.
Yeah, okay. I know where I'm going.
And no, then right after that, we got Otay on the 7th and or July 9th and 10th. And Brian, you know how good it is there at that time. I mean, it took myself 99 and a quarter inches to win that event. And we had 10 guys. Wow. We had 10 guys over 90 that event. And jeez. It is grass, it's tules. And Greg, you would love it at that time. I mean, it's frog and you can punch, you can chatterbait. I mean, it's on.
There's some sneaky big ones in there too.
Yeah.
Is there? All yeah. right.
Cool. Oh, yeah. And then right after that, we got Clear Lake a little bit earlier in August, August 6th and 7th. So that should be pretty interesting too, but maybe probably the same as when we're all used to fishing it. I mean, I can't imagine it being too much different than the end-ish of August, right? Right, Greg?
Yeah, maybe, you know, it's hard to say. The thing is, I feel like Clear Lake is, there's always a good bite going on, but it can be kind of specific, you know, and John could probably, you know, talk about this better than I can, but it could be, you know, buzz baits, it could be, you know, jigs, crankbaits, it could be, you know, small kitex, you could be a punch, but Clear Lake, I do feel like you need to kind of get dialed in on a pattern for that one, and then you can really go to town.
Even a 7-inch Nico on rock piles in 20 feet of water, but what do I know?
It could be.
It could be. Okay, New Malone is September 10th and 9th. Now, you guys, I've never been there before, first off. Spotted bass fishery and smallmouth, all three?
Right. Let John take that one.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, it's a dominant spotted bass, and it has the lake rules record in there. On that lake, so
you know how big it was.
It has it swimming around right now as we talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So one year, I guess there was several people caught spotted bass, well over 8 pounds. Several people did. So,
Brad, you got to come out to some of these, man. Come on, yeah. Brad.
Yeah, I had a spotted bass here in Ohio. It was probably like 2 or 3 pounds.
Yeah, there's a really. Really good population of largemouth bass as well. The smallmouth, not so much. You could probably catch a few here and there. Then they have the red eye. Red eyes are usually like 12 inches long. But the largemouth there, this last year I caught one, biggest fish ever caught in a kayak. And it was a 61 or something. And it was crazy. Yeah, it was and you know, fighting one of those in a kayak, it jumped 3 times too, by the way. One time when I had the rod on one side of the boat, it jumped on the other side of the boat. So I was fortunate to get that one.
Wow. What'd you get it on?
I caught it on a Ned rig.
Wow. See, Brad, I told you. Nice. Brad, I threw the Ned rig, bro.
I threw big baits all day, and I finally, like, I got to catch a fish. You know, and I pulled up to this main lake point, little rock outcropping coming off of it, and I caught a bunch of little spots, and then I repositioned off to the deeper side, and I broke off, and something told me retie that thing back on, and I tied it on first cast.
Greg, how do you like New Malone's? Is it Malone's or is it Maloney's or what is it?
Yes,
Maloney's. I don't know.
Yeah, Maloney's. Melon.
I like it. Melon. I think it's a great fishery. You know, the few times that I've been there, it's been pretty solid. We had a tournament there. Well, it was one of the tournaments that you could pick from 5 different lakes earlier this year, and I picked Maloney's, and it was good. The weather was kind of gnarly, but I mean, you can catch a lot of fish there. There are some big ones. I've seen a few big ones follow my glides. I think, it, correct me if I'm wrong, John, but they started stocking it with trout again, right?
Oh, I'm not sure.
but it has a huge kokanee and giant 6-8 pound trout in there. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you can, you know, it's a place you can throw your big baits too, and you know,
and
whether you
do,
and yeah. catch them. So I think that's going to be a fun one. That's going to be another. Mm-hmm. Most likely, that's going to be another one that's high 90s. I'd imagine somebody will catch them pretty good each
per day.
So maybe, yeah, per day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now our 3-day TOC. I guess raise your hand if you've ever fished a 3-day TOC in a kayak.
Never.
I guess Greg, you fished a national championship.
Yeah, national championship 3-day event.
Yeah. So the thought behind that is the whole Ironman thing, right? Like this is, we're trying to make it a 2-day, it's a 2-day series throughout the whole year. So our it doesn't really make sense to make our TOC a 2-day as well. We wanted to go one more and to make it that 3-day Ironman feel, and it says undisclosed. So there's still a little bit of tweaks with this thing, but right now what I'm hearing is it's undisclosed, so I have no idea what lake it's at, but we're going to do 2 days at one specific lake, which will be our hub, and that's where we'll be camping or staying or whatever. And the third day will be at another lake close by. So that really throws that curveball in, and it makes it really fun, I think. And I mean, I'm really excited about it. So that's pretty much our entire ABA Ironman California Hobie series. And I'm really stoked about it. So, Brian, being from down south, are you stoked to go up north a little bit?
The more I think about it, yeah, the more excited I get. I grew up in Santa Cruz. I fished some of those lakes as a kid. So I'm excited to get back up there.
Yeah.
And see how I stack up against NorCal guys.
Yeah. And it's cool, like, me and you were talking about, like, dude, Otay and San V and Paris, like, it's good fishing, like, and then John and Greg are over here talking about Clear Lake and Delta and New Melones, and that's, I mean, I'm just so stoked, you guys, like, I'm so stoked to do this. It's going to be fun. I plan on solely doing the ABA kayak series, and I'm really excited about it. But John, are you excited to come down south, maybe?
You know something, I'm going to make a trip down there.
All right. I'm going to
start pre-fishing right now.
Okay. Okay sounds good to me. I'm not sure about the other ones, but I have to check my schedule. So yeah, I have just in kayak circuits, 4.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Yeah.
4. I'm going to be fishing 4.
Greg, no promises, but will we see you maybe down at 1?
I'm going to try. You know what? I might need to come to Paris, because the last time I was at Paris, I flipped and dumped about $2,000 worth of gear at the bottom. Ooh. So, you know, I think I need to get some redemption on that lake.
Yeah. Mm. And the cool thing about Paris towards the end of April, it's going to be spawn still. It's going to be a little bit into the post spawn. So there's going to, dude, it's going to take 95 inches both days. It's going to take 90 to 95 both days for sure. So it's going to be fun. All right, now getting into let's cover the next kind of big one that we have, obviously, out here. Is it's kind of interesting, because what I'm trying to pull up this really quick. Let me see. We have Bass Nation combining with the Wild West this year. I mean, they're going to be doing a series now. Did we lose Brian, Brad, or no?
Yeah, we did. He dropped out.
Okay.
Phone might have died or something.
Okay. It's all good. So Bass Nation and Wild West, they're kind of combining next year. First ever Bass Nation series. Last year, all three of us were at the Bass Nation event. And how many anglers were there, Greg? Was there like 150 or something?
Yeah, there was a lot. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was quite a few. Was it 130-some? 140? It was up there.
146.
Yeah. And unfortunately, my SoCal brother, Alex, came up there and taught everyone a lesson. And
yes, he did.
He took home first place, and he, for everyone listening, he won almost $15,000 that day. Jeez. He was in the Bass Nation event and the Wild West event, and he completely destroyed it on a jig, John. And I mean, I was really stoked for him because he puts a lot of time and energy into it as well. When he gets into it and he starts studying the lakes, he's very dangerous out on the water. I mean, that guy can flat out fish. He actually fished in college at Long Beach State and did phenomenal there. They went and fished against Jordan Lee and like a bunch of these pros that were in college still. And I mean, for him, I mean, he's an awesome dude. And I was so stoked to see him get that big, big win. I mean, pretty much the biggest win in California ever, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say so. And I think the other thing you need to mention is he beat us after like maybe 2 hours of fishing too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was over at 9 o'clock.
I checked the standings and he's like one of my best friends. So like I checked the standings and I'm like...
I think that's how we all react.
He had like 99 inches. He had like 99 inches by like 9 a.m. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude.
You know, wow. The thing about that event too, I'll say is I want to say it was maybe 70 or 75 anglers had over like 85 inches or something like that. Like to be in the top 75, you had to have 85. I mean, that's
thank you.
I'm sorry, but that's crazy. That's no, Clear Lake for you.
That's Clear Lake for sure. That place is just unreal, man. I mean, that's
he must have been sweating it all day after that.
He was just watching the leaderboard, but he knows that lake really well, and we all know that it's really, really tough to hit that 99 mark. I mean, those fish are fat, not so much long. It's tough to get up there. So I mean, he was tripping, but I know he was pretty confident too. He was pretty confident. So, but because he broke 100.
Yes.
He hit like 100 and a quarter.
Yes.
Right?
100 and a quarter. Yes.
Yeah. Which was insane. So with that,
John was close though. John had what'd you have, John? 97.5
Yeah, you know, if I would have figured that out a little bit earlier, I think I might have gave him a little more threat. But you know, when at 10 o'clock I looked at the leaders board and I was like, "What? Alex got 100 inches?" I'm like, "I'm just gonna go have fun now."
Yeah, we're all deflated.
I'm just gonna go have fun.
I should have done homework a little bit more on this, but you guys might know. How many guys qualified to go fish in Kentucky Lake out of that event? Was it 14?
15? No, wait.
Are you talking – not Kentucky Lake. It's
well, to go fish the championship.
Yeah.
Not Kentucky Lake. Sorry, that's
– Yeah, I think –
That's 14, KBF.
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 14. 10%. So there's 140-some-odd anglers. Yeah, I think we're 14.
And you see what I mean, guys? The year before that, they came at – just the wrong time, obviously, because the next year we're on a date where there's kind of nothing else going on really. It's a fresh date, it's a good date, and we got 146. I mean, that just shows that the date was just not the best when they came out officially, when they came out 2 years ago. So we can pull some serious numbers. I mean, 146 guys, like Brad. I mean, I know you cover a lot of the whole scene across the country. I mean, that's pretty respectable.
Oh yeah. I mean, here in Ohio, like, we get, I don't know, a good day, 60, 70 people.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which is still good, man. I mean, the sport's growing for sure. I mean, it is. So, with that, they're rolling out a series, and it looks like the first event that they are having is going to be on Shasta, early February Shasta, and you guys have fished Shasta before, probably a few years ago for KBF. Am I right, Greg?
Yes, I think it was a KBF. You know, it might have been a Yak, but you know, no, it was a Hobie. I'm sorry,
it was a Hobie BOS.
Hobie,
like,
yeah,
3 years ago.
Hobie BOS.
So early February in Shasta is going to be freezing.
It
could snow. Yeah, it could definitely snow.
That's actually one that I wanted to fish this year. I was looking forward to that one.
You should do it. That place is I'm full of spotted bass. Sure. You could really, really.
I've fished there before, and a lot of small fish. But
yes,
it's a place I want to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they go next to Party Lake. I literally don't know anything about Party Lake.
Party is awesome. That's where I caught my personal best.
Really?
12 pounds, 3 ounces.
John, is that like way NorCal or is it
Central? So you have Comanche and then Amador and Pardee. They're all basically like a little chain of the foothill reservoirs. I've never been there, but it's right by Comanche.
Pardee's got smallmouth, largemouth. I think just smallmouth and largemouth.
Greg, have you been there?
I've never been there. Nope.
Well, we might have to make a little. It's going to be March 6th, so it's probably going to be spawned for sure.
There's some big smallmouth in there.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
And then next on the list, we got the Delta again for the Wild West, April 30th. And, yeah, that's just a Wild West event by itself on the Delta, April 30th. Another 100 inches for sure.
Could be. Yes. Yeah.
Or is it a little bit later in the it's going to be post-spawn probably.
It depends on the weather.
Yeah, weather dependent. You know, for me, things tend to get a little tougher in May, and maybe that's just my experience. So we're looking at end of April. Yeah, I agree with John. It'll depend on the weather. That could definitely play a role.
Yeah. And then this was really big news when it hit social media too, is that Bass Nation is going to be coming down to Lower Otay on May 15th. So I've never fished it in May. Have you, Brian?
Yeah.
How is it in May?
It depends on the water level, really.
Yeah.
If there's tules or not, you know, that's a big factor.
It's a combined event, so it's going to be Bass and Wild West that event. So basically, you just join both and you fish both, and they're separated. But it ups the buy-in, it ups the payouts, and it ups the trophies pretty much. So. That should be really good, and that's really awesome that they're coming down south. Seems to be the theme this year. Hopefully we can keep it rolling. And then next we got Comanche, Lake Comanche, Bass and Wild West, Comanche. You guys fish that quite a bit, and that is going to be June 5th. How will that turn out, Greg?
If you've watched my channel over the past couple of years, you know that's like my arch nemesis lake.
Sorry, Greg. I had to throw it in there a little bit.
Oh, dude. That lake's, I mean, for me, it's tough. Some guys catch them, but, man, I feel like every time I go there, everyone is just praying for a limit on tournament day. It just seems to be the case. It's a tough fishery. I don't really know why. It does have big fish in it. That's the thing. There are teeners probably in there.
Watch they Damian's stock it with video trout. And he'll show you the big ones.
Yeah, Damian catches them there.
I did try to get Damian on here too to join us tonight, but Damian he couldn't make it tonight. But Damian Thal is another big name out here, Brad.
Yes,
I have him on my fan team.
Really?
It's a good pick.
Hey, I know because I watch your videos. I see him on top of the leaderboard all the time. So I'm like, yeah, that's a good pick. But he doesn't fish the bigger tournaments.
Dude, I watched one of his older videos. One of his older videos, just throwing like a deep diving crankbait at some lake, like in Fresno or something. Just smashing like a seven. Oh, was that what it was?
Eastman Lake on a rock pile. He got a 40-pound limit or something like that.
Jeez. That video is awesome. That's one of the coolest videos.
Right. Yeah.
California, if you come out here, you better expect. If you go to NorCal, you're going to see Damian, John, and Taz, like for sure.
You know, the thing about the tournaments that I've noticed being here for, well, 4 years, decent amount of time, but, dude, it is getting so much harder to win out here. Like, it's never easy in the first place, but, man, every year it's just there's better anglers, more competition. It's going to be really hard. You know, whoever wins AOI for any circuit next year is going to have earned it for sure.
Mm. Yeah,
it's the same thing down here. I mean, even just this last year, some guys you've never even heard of before just come out of nowhere, and you know they get first place. You're like, what? Who is this guy? You know,
he's speaking of JD, but
well, that's why there's some other guys. There's some other guys too.
So. Yeah,
that's why I like the 2 day events. You know, you could get lucky on one, but not two.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, you got to figure them out.
It really weeds out everyone pretty much. So. Let's see. After that, I don't see another Wild West event. I could be wrong. Let me see. Yeah, I think that's the end of their season, and then their TOC will be announced. But they basically have a series, and from what I understand is the, especially the California Bass Nation, is you're going to be able to have an, there's going to be an AOI standing, I'm pretty sure, and then you're going to qualify for their TOC, and then I think they're going to take a percentage of their TOC to the 2023 Bass Nation Kayak Series, I'm pretty sure. Greg, have you kind of heard the same thing, or have you heard anything, or
John? No, I don't know just for sure.
Not yet, but I'm pretty sure that's what kind of won, and some other guys kind of just mentioned briefly, because they just released their schedule, so, which is really exciting, though. At least we have a shot to go fish, you know, to qualify and fish for the Bass Nation Championship, because Greg and myself went out there last year, and Greg, let's talk a little bit about Texas for a second. I mean, it was really fun. I know the fishing was tough, but I mean the for us at least. But I mean the experience was awesome, dude. It was cool to be there.
Yeah, that was that's kind of what we were saying earlier. It's like half the fun of these tournaments is just the experience, you know, going to a bucket list lake or fishery or tournament, and that was a lot of fun with you and the guys. Tough fishing, but it was a good experience.
It was awesome. And
Possum and that was Kingdom.
That was another tournament, kind of like an Alex deal, where you check the leaderboard at 9 a.m. and I can't remember who it was. I think Mark Pendergraph had like 109.
Yeah, right? Right?
That's crazy.
I was like, all right.
I think he had a bigger bag than the actual guy that won the Classic.
I think so.
Did you guys notice that in the tournaments, it seems like there's bigger numbers each year too? Like people are just
Heard of that bag. You never heard of that bag a year ago. Like 109 or whatever it was.
Like people are just like, I mean, again, going back to how people are just getting really good at kayak fishing, it's like you can expect huge bags. Somebody's going to crack them.
People are getting more dialed in with their kayaks, with their electronics. They're getting confident in their strengths of fishing, right? And that's a big thing, is fishing what you're good at. You know, you can't copy what somebody else is doing and, you know, expect the same results. So
but I know, tell you this, but Greg, I know I begged you and begged you and begged you to come with me to the Classic Expo, and you did not come. But I mean, to be at the Classic and be at the literal stage of these Classic winners and see our fellow kayak anglers, I don't care what anyone else says, and I'm just going to throw this out there, and we're going to kind of wrap it up from this point on, but I'm going to say this. To literally see a kayak angler on that big of a stage was just unbelievable. And then see my buddy Jason Barofka and everything that came from that, it was just an unbelievable event for the first one ever, and I really, really want to go back, and I want to go on that stage. I don't care about the money. I don't care about the payout. I don't care about anything. I want to be on that stage and hold that trophy up one day. That's my goal for the years to come. I want to do that. I never thought I would have a chance to fish the Elite Series and, you know, go and fish the Classic, and to be able to do that on a kayak scale and have it obtainable for myself as just an average person, an average guy that does construction and, you know, fishes for fun in these series, to have the ability and the way to go and be on that stage. I mean, any angler wants to be on that stage no matter what. That's just what I believe.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears, multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
So, with that being said, you guys, we're at an hour.
Real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, talk about kayaks compared to glitter boats, glitter rockets, or whatever. So, my experience in a kayak, you could sneak up stealthy to these fish. They bite right next to the boat, okay, a kayak. Now, in a big boat, that's what I think it is, the volume of water it pushes, these fish know if a dragonfly lands on that mat. They know it. Yeah. They know you're in this big old boat getting close. But in a kayak, like Damien Tao says, oh, we got some shade. You know what I mean? You could really sneak up on these fish. And I think that's a huge
Is that what he says?
That's what he says.
Well, I mean,
oh, there's the fish are saying, oh, there's shade.
That's,
you know?
That's because he has that hydro wave and he like turns it on. And
no, Damien, all those... Damien for sure speaks to the fish and they talk back.
He's the fish. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I got live scope this last year. And I mean, if you sit on a spot long enough, you're going to have all kinds of fish under your kayak. I mean, they just, they come, you know.
That's crazy.
That's awesome.
Interesting.
Well, you guys, I mean, I'm so stoked. This was our first EP. I feel like it went awesome. Thank you guys for your time. Greg, thanks for coming on. Brian, thank you. John, thanks for your time. And I'm really looking forward to next year. We got a lot to choose from. I hope you guys can fish all of them, obviously. I hope we all can fish all of them, but I know that's not reality. I hope you guys pick the series that fits you guys best. And for the listeners, pick the series that fits you guys best and give it your all. And maybe one day you'll be AOI just like these gentlemen right here. And anyways, that pretty much wraps up the show.
Thank you.
Guys. Thanks, man.
Brad, we can probably cut recording.
I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from HuntStand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more. I'm Will Cooper, host of HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from HuntStand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device.